Okay, so we began the Mishnah on Zayin Mevez, and the Mishnah spoke about the fact that if a person is an Onen, so then they're Pater in Krishma, in Tefillah, in Tefillin, Chomitzos HaMuris B'Torah. And we mentioned yesterday that there are two different significant machlokasim about this issue. One issue is what's the reason for the B'Tor of Onen, whether it's Kavod HaMeis, whether it's Loeg L'Rash, whether it's the fact, as Rashi says, that a person is going to be torayed in involvement in aninos, is the xeris akasav the yushami, and these different opinions are going to lead to different halachic issues. As far as what's the reason for an onen, we also mentioned the very famous Chogestin Rashi and the Rush about whether or not the onen is only patur mitzvos. That's the sheet of Rashi, or is it usher for them to do mitzvos? The sheet of the Rush and the Bali Tosfos and others. And we hold like that second opinion, that one has to be machmir on themselves. Just another issue that we raised yesterday that we'll continue to see in the Gemara is, let's say, a person who's an Onen, but he's not involved in the burial of his relative. So do these halachas still apply to him or not? And a similar question is, when would that person begin avelus? If a person is not involved in the preparation for the body, does he become an avel right away? So these are sort of like the real confusing topic at Hilchos Avelus, or Hilchos Aninus, actually. And just lastly, just point out that it's a more of a contemporary discussion, but it used to be that everyone who would die in the town, and they lived in the town, their relatives lived in the town, and they were buried in the town. You know, and now you have somebody who dies, but their children live in Israel, and their brother lives over here, and they're going to get buried over there. So we do have an idea of being lo sullen, the halana sameis. You can't let the body go for more than one day, not even to the night. But bizmaneinu, it's very rare that a person is buried on the same day outside of Yushalayim. In Yushalayim, they're very machmir to make sure a person is buried on that day. We do allow for Kavod HaMeis purposes of allowing for the burial to be pushed off, but it really should not be pushed off more than one day. It shouldn't be like, I have some recollection when Michael Jackson was nifter, you know, it's like 3 weeks later he's getting buried.
Lion State.
What's that?
Lion State.
Lion State? Oh, Lion State. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Presidents die and they stick
right,
them.
Right. So we say that if you have to, maybe a day, you know, obviously one day, sometimes 2 days, but you know, we try to be sensitive to issues of Halana Samei. So those are sort of the big topics that are discussed here on this Amud. So just again, the first line of the Mishnah says, Mishamesa Muta Lufana of Patrimi Krishma. If a person is basically in a lying state, as Avi just pointed out, the person is dead and he is lying in front of his relative, so the relative is Patrimi Krishma. So the Gemara says, Muta Lufanov in, Vishena Mutav Lufanov lo. The implication is that only if the person is lying in front of you are you pater mitzvos. Or minhi, we have a question from a braisa. This is on Yud Zayim Beis, 4 lines from the bottom. So Misha Mesa Mutolofanov.
I mean, it sounds like a pretty literal that yeah. Gemara doesn't usually give such a literal
exactly.
Definition.
Yeah. So Gemara's clarified. I mean Mutolofanov
means not buried yet.
Right, right. But I think it's right because we use that term of being like Mesa Mutolofanov, meaning that the person is not in front of you. If you just read the Mishnah on its face value, maybe you would say that it's literally lying there. Yep. Okay, so v'sheni mutolofanav lo. So minhi misha mesa mutolofanav ocha v'vayis acher. So obviously nobody was going to be in the morgue. They would be in your house, so then you would eat in the house next door. V'mein lo v'vayis acher ocha v'vayis chavero. If you don't own another house, you would go to your friend's house and you would eat there. V'mein lo v'vayis chavero or v'vayis chavero. If you don't have like a friend, osim mechitza v'yochel, then you would make a mechitza between you and the nifter and you would eat. You don't have a something to make machitza out of, or maybe a Shabbos. So machzir panav v'ochel. So then you would basically sit there with the person in the house, and you would eat. V'edo mesa v'ochel. You don't, you know, eat behaseva, which is sort of the way of kings, obviously. V'edo ochel basar, because you're an onen, you don't eat basar. The real halacha of onen is not eat meiser sheni or baser kachim, but midrabanan we say that would apply to other forms of achilas baser as well. Vienum shows the yayin, same thing I just mentioned a second ago. Vienum mivarech, vienum mizamin, vienum mivarchin alav, vienum mizamin alav. So you neither say a bracha, birchas nenin, nor do you form a zimun, vienum mivarchin alav. Rashi says, other people are not motzi you in the bracha. Other people cannot count you in their zimun. Rabbi Shmuel Lo Omer. So mitoch, going to continue reading about Shabbos. Mitoch she. Seeing that you on Shabbos, so you do say the bracha and you are involved in a zimun, right? Seeing that that is the case, nischai bekulon, you be chayiv in all of the mitzvos. Okay, now this statement by Shmuel Gamliel seems somewhat confusing because we just said before the Tanakhama says. The Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel comes to us says, "Mitochshin is chayiv be'elu, is chayiv be'kulan." Right? What exactly is Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel coming to add or be mosif or introduce? So, the Amar of Yochanan, my benayu. What's the difference between these two opinions? So, Tashmish Hamita ika benayu. Right? But maybe according to the first opinion, which way would you say? If you look in Rashi, ika benayu. Look, Rabbi Shimon chayiv. Avel ba'ona b'Shabbos, right? That he says you're chayiv in ona. Apparently, according to the first month Yomar, he says you're chayiv on mitzvahs of Torah. So maybe somehow they will come to exclude tashmish on Shabbos. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what's about each shita that would indicate either way. Okay.
Really, anything on Shabbos?
What's that?
Wouldn't it be anything on Shabbos?
Well, the
onen is part of mitzvahs even on Shabbos.
Sure. The unique quality of Ona is the following. I mean, it's a good opportunity just to mention this. So first of all, it's interesting that Rashi mentions that the Avel is Chayiv when we're speaking about an Onein. And the question is essentially, and there's even a question we've shown him, does an Onein also have the halachos of an Avel as well? I mean, how much are an Avel and Onein basically the same, and an Onein just maybe has some other components to it? But when we say that a person is chayiv mitzvos and Shabbos as an avel, so that is true only things that are davar b'var hesia. Davar b'tzina, so then an avel on Shabbos is still machmer on davar b'shev b'tzina. So what's that is considered to be davar b'shev b'tzina? So it's something that's only done in private as opposed to something that's done maybe in a public setting. So the one area that people seem to debate about this issue is Tashmish Hamita. Meaning an Onein on Shabbos or an Avel on Shabbos, so would there be a Pitor or an Isser of that? The other one is maybe Limud Torah, right? That an Avel, even though it's Shabbos, so there's still like a din of Avelos and Shabbos, which is not you're supposed to do it publicly. If you're in private, so then maybe there's an Isser of Limud Torah, maybe there's an Isser of Tashmish Hamita. So these two opinions already sort of touch on that issue. Okay, but either way, whatever we say about this issue, about the Onein / Avel on Shabbos, so Ketani Mihas, about 10 lines down, so, you know, either way we say, Patr Mikri Yishma, Minatvila, and Rukhamitsu Mursh B'Torah. Okay, and here, this situation where the person is not in front of their mace, right? They are maybe in their neighbor's house, or they're in a different house, and it's not mace and mutul panav. So I'm Rav Papa, Satirikamva, Amachsir panav v'yochel. When we say this halacha, that you are pater and krishma and tefillin and all the mitzvos, we're not talking about the case where he's in his neighbor's house. We're talking about a case where he has no friends, he has no neighbors, he doesn't have a second house, he doesn't have a mechitza, he's sitting right in front of the body, and he turns his face away from the body. Okay, so that's the answer for Papa, and obviously you pointed out, like that doesn't sound like the best answer, right? Say that's what the Brisa is talking about. So Rashi sort of comes and almost like saves the day. Rashi Amar, came to Mutol, a love, the Kovro, Mutol upon the Dami. No, this whole thing It's not talking about whether you're in front of the mace or not. It's talking about whether or not you have an obligation, whether it's mutal lav lekovro, whether you have an obligation to bury that person or not. And therefore, whether or not you're in your house or your friend's house or down the block or maybe even a different city, so you obviously have that obligation of burying the person. Vayakam Avraham me'al p'nei meso. So v'nemar, and the Melech Pasuk says, Vekfura Mesai Milfanai. So that even though Avram is not in front of Sarah anymore, it still says that he has to bury her, right? So Kozman Shemuto Allah the Kovro Kmuta Lufanam Dami. So in other words, the obligation is there whether or not he's actually sitting in front of her. Okay. So Gemara says, Meso in Ava Mishamro Lo. Who do we say is Pater Mitzvos? So the assumption is the only person that you are chayiv to bury him, right? If you're, he's a karov of yours, one of the Zion krovim. Ava misham rolo, but the person who's just a shomer, so maybe there's no need to guard him anymore. So vatanya hamishamer es hameis afa bisheino meso, even though you're not a karov, pater mikrishma umin hatzvila, umin hatzvila umin chomitzos mirush patora. So it says mishamro, in this brisa, afvi she'enu meso. So meso, afvi she'enu mishamro. I mean, don't assume that just because we say one, not the other, it means that we don't include the other. But really both of them. Both a person who's chai for kfura and also a person who's a shomer is pater in mitzvot. Pater in mitzvot and all the other things. Okay. Vaitinugmar. Meso mishamro in ava mahalach v'isa kvaros lo, right? That only if you are chayiv to bury the person, or if you're a shomer, but if you're just walking a basic faros, so then the assumption is that you are chayiv in mitzvos. V'yatanya, doesn't the braces say, lo yehalich adam v'esak faros, utfilim barosho v'sefer Torah b'zro'o v'korei, v'im osakein over mishum loig l'rosh harvosehu. That person should not walk in basic faros and wearing his tefillin, right? This is obviously speaking of the time where people wore their tefillin all day. The Sefer Torah Bizra'o, carrying the Sefer Torah, the Koreh, and learning in the basic faros. Bimosake, and if you do so, so then you violate this famous principle of Loig L'Rosh. You are almost like taunting a person who themselves is silent, right? It's sort of the insensitivity towards the person who's already mace. Okay, so Gemara answer is no. So we see from here that there's another category of people who are pater. Another category is people who are just in the basic faros. So hasim toch arba amos hu di aser, chutz arba amos chayiv. Doesn't mean that you're pater in mitzvos in general. You're only pater in mitzvos when you're standing dalad amos away from somebody's grave. Okay, so diyamar mar meis tofes dalad amos l'kriyishma. The mace is tofes, namely within dalad amos of any mace, of even a buried mace, so then you're tofes those dalad amos. Hachachus dalad amos nami pater, right? But over here, i.e. in a case where you're an onen or you're a shomer, even outside dalad amos, you are going to be pater as well. So gufa, hamishamer is hameis, afapi she'eno meso pater mikrishma. Same statement we just had. The person who is a shomer of a mace, even though it's not your mace, you're not one of the relatives. So pater mikrishma. So you're pater. So minatfilah mikol mitzvah murish b'torah. So hayushnayim. Excuse me. Let's say there were two people who were guarding the body. So zemishamer v'zekori. One person guards. One person reads kriyishma. V'zemishamer v'zekori. And then you take turns. And one person is a shomer. One person reads. Ben Azay Omer, Hayubayim Bisfina. Let's say you're traveling with a body on the boat. So Meinicho Bezavis Zu, Ubispalin Shneim Bezavis Acheris. You say, you know what? We're going to treat this body respectfully. We're going to put the body sort of in this corner. And then we're going to daven in a different corner. Now, Ben Azay seems to be, or clearly is more makel. The first opinion says that if you're being Mishamir the body, whether it's on a boat or not a boat, so then you take turns, someone always has to watch the body. Ben Azai says that no, for a few minutes, so we don't have to worry about it. Okay, so my binayhu, so I'm Ravina, choshin lakvarim ik binayhu. So it's whether or not we're concerned for mice and rodents. Mar savar cheshinon, mar savar lo cheshinon. The first opinion says we are choshesh, therefore you need constant shmira. The second opinion says that you're not choshesh. Now, obviously, this Gemara points the way for issues and questions about shmira bizmanenu, right? Let's say if you have a relative who is in the hospital, in the morgue, if the concern for why we do shmira is an issue, or the constant shmira, 24-hour shmira, is a concern for akvarim and other animals and not the body not being treated properly, obviously that's not a concern in the morgue. If the concern is one of basic kavod hameis, that doesn't have to be a constant shmira. So Rav Moshe says that bizmanenu, so there's no need for 24-hour day shmira. It's enough to go sort of yotzev nichnas, you know, come in, take turns, sort of go on rotations, but not that it has to be continuous or not. You know, obviously there are situations where people say we want to be machmir. If a person's maybe an adam gadol, maybe you're machmir out of a sense of like kavod for that person. But just as far as like the basic halacha, shmira is not needed 24 hours a day in the way that it once was. Okay, weiter. So there's a lot in general to be shown him in this Gemara, but we'll sort of move forward. Okay, two dots. Tan Rabbanan. Hamolich at samos mimakom lamakom. If a person was bringing at samos from one place to another place, obviously you're traveling with the at samos, and the image of traveling with the at samos is an image of like likud at samos. Maybe if a person was like a dead body, that wouldn't be just being malakate at samos. Sounds like it's just bones. So a question of whether or not you could be malakate bones from one place to another place. And this actually came up a lot during COVID, where people were just buried where they were buried. They couldn't get into the Tumah cemeteries. You couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. So you say, just bury the person wherever you bury the person. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you know, sometimes there's a het there. Normally you don't uproot a disinter a person, but let's say to go to Eretz Yisrael, you would be allowed to disinter a person, or if the person is buried in a non-Jewish cemetery. Or maybe you want to bury the person in your family plot, which you couldn't do initially. So there are heterim of like moving people's bones. Okay, so hamolach atzamos, again, I don't know if this is bones, I don't know if it's the whole body. But either way, mimakom lamakom, so harizeh lo yitneim bediskaya, you don't put the body in a, basically in a bag of a leather sack, okay? Rashi says, marzif gadol sha'or, like a large leather sack, v'yitneim agabe chamor, and then you put it on top of the chamor that you're riding on, v'yirkav aleihem, and you can't like basically ride on top of the dead body. Okay? B'nei shenog bohem minog b'zayon. Obviously, that's not appropriate. It's also somewhat freaky. But v'imhayim misyar b'nei nachrim b'nei listim somuter. But let's say you're concerned, someone's going to come and mug you, steal something. So then we say that would be allowed to sort of like be riding along them, so to speak. So ukeder sh'amru b'atzamos kach amru b'sefer Torah. So whatever we said about atzamos is also true by sefer Torah. Ahaya, right? What are we going on when we say that statement? Ilema areisha. If we say the first part of the statement that you cannot put a sefer Torah or bones in a bag and sit on top of them, pshita, of course, a sefer Torah, migara sefer Torah miatzamos. That the sefer Torah obviously cannot be treated less seriously than the dead body, right? Sefer Torah has presumably even like a higher status. Ela seifa, rather, this line of the sefer Torah that we say that so too the sefer Torah is going to the second part, namely that even a sefer Torah, if you're concerned about listim or nachrim, you would be allowed to put it in a bag and sit, you know, yirkav aleihem literally means to sit on top of it, in order to protect the sefer Torah. You could be mako with the sefer Torah. Okay. I would just point out a Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara says, let's say you are in front of a person, and we don't do this nowadays. Let's say you go to a hospital, you're visiting somebody, the person is nifter. Okay, so the Gemara says that you would tear kriya for that person, even if you're not a relative of that person. Meaning, let's say you're in the room with a mace, the person passes away. So the Gemara says, how if the person is a Rasha? So even if the person's a Rasha, you still tear kriya for the person. The Gemara says that person is still Sefer Torah, right? Even the Rasha, even no matter who that person still has the status of like a Sefer Torah. What's interesting about that Gemara is that essentially the Gemara is equating the Kedushas Adam with the Kedushas Sefer Torah, right? And therefore you would rip Kriya for both. As opposed to here, the obvious assumption is that the Kedushas Sefer Torah is greater than Kedushas Adam. However we conceptualize that, we'd say, well, it can't be on the first one, because of course, whatever we would say about a person, you know, of course we would say the vice versa. Well, maybe it's equating the two. Meaning when the Gemara says, it says, you know, Sefer Torah, Ahaya, Ilima, Resha, Pshita, Mi Gara, Sefer Torah, Mi Atzamos. Like, why would Sefer Torah be less than Atzamos? But I guess the point is that maybe it's the same as Atzamos, and maybe that should be obvious. I don't know. I'm not sure if what you take away from this Gemara is that the Kedushas Sefer Torah is greater or the same as Kedushas Adam.
Greater. Seems to be greater. Milo Gara means yeah. That it can't be worse.
Right. And then the whole Chiddush the Gemara, El Seifa, is that you would be, that even though the Kedushas Sefer Torah is so significant, you would still be allowed to sit on top of it for the purpose of saving for the Menachrim, right? Maybe in the Gemara has to be Mechadish that because the Kedushas Sefer Torah is greater than Kedushas Adam. Okay, sort of an interesting question. You know, how do we sort of view the nature and the sanctity of man? Fine. So the two dots. So Amar Rachva, Amar Yehuda, Kol Roa Mei Svi'edo Melavehu. If you see a person who is dead, and they're bringing him to the Beis HaKfaros, or he's traveling to the Beis HaKfaros, Ve'edim Alavehu, and you don't travel along with him, Over Mishum Loig L'Rosh Charef Esehu, that it's like you are insensitive, taunting, sort of like the silent person, you're being Mecharif him, Ve'edim Alavehu, so Maschara. But this is something that sometimes I see people don't do, maybe it's not a proper chinuch about it, if let's say you go to a Beis HaKfaros. So if you go to a Levaya, so first of all, when they escort the body out from the Levaya, so then the appropriate thing is to be Malabim then. You put him in the hearse, should be Malabim Dalal Amos there as well. You know, that may not be exactly what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about when you take him from, you know, your house to the Beis HaKfaros, really sort of like either step, like every step along the way deserves sort of that respect, right? And you can almost sort of see why that would be a case of Loig L'Rosh. It's like, okay, this person's like, you know, he's not like a person anymore. He's, you know, he's quiet, he's there, he's not significant. So we're just going to sort of turn our back and walk somewhere else. Like, no, there's a certain way of acting. So at all those various pieces of the Levaya, that Halva, so to speak, or that Levoy is appropriate. Okay, so Vim Hilveo Mascharo, what is the schar for being Malave the person? I'm Ravasio, Lovakos of Omer. So, what's this pasuk? Malva Hashem? What's a pasuk for in? So, Malve Hashem choning dal, ugmulo yishalim lo. Okay? So, the person who is the Malve is a chonein dal. It's someone who's like giving to the weak, ugmulo yishalim lo. That's the pasuk in Mishlei. Okay? Vayit Gemara, two dots. 8 lines from the bottom, 9 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Yochanan, Havu Shakle, Vyazle, Vesakfaros. So it's somewhat of an interesting Gemara. Who are two people that are Shakle Vitarye Vyazle in the Beis HaKfaros? I mean, they're walking through the Beis HaKfaros, they're having some type of discussion in learning, presumably. Okay. But this is interesting. If you look in the last Rashi, so Malve Hashem Chonin Dal, so Kari Be Malve Es Hamakom. It's kimat as though you were being malave Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. Mishachonin es hadal. I mean, somebody who is chonin es hadal, it's as though you're malve God. Ve'en l'chadal min hameis. You don't have anybody who's the dal more so than the meis. V'hamalve oso kilu malave es hamakom. Which is quite a beautiful image. And also, based on Pasuk Mishlei, it would probably apply to any dal as well, right? I mean, it's not just that this person's a dal. Somebody asks you for money, they come to your house, you know, you walk them out of your house properly. That's like probably even more important than walking out, you know, somebody you're being malvez hadal. It's a real sort of fundamentally Jewish concept. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Yonasan, Havu Shakle, V'Ozle, V'Ezekvaros. They were sort of coming and going, and maybe having some discussion in the basic forest. Have a kishadya tchilasa the Rabbi Yonasan. So Rabbi Chia, sort of the tchilas of Yonasan was like dragging onto the kfaros. He was wearing these like long, sort of like Eretz Yisrael tzitzis. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Chia, so meaning Rabbi Yonasan tzitzis were dragging. So Rabbi Chia says, Sadalia, right? Bring up your tzitzis. In other words, put them, you know, not, so they're not dragging or into your pants. Kadesh lo yomru lamachar, so that those people don't say. Who are those people? The people who are the people in the cemetery. So lamachar b'nitz leinu. Here, these guys, tomorrow they're coming to us. V'yachshav mecharfin, and now they're just sort of sitting here being disrespectful. Okay. V'yachshav mecharfin osanu. So Amar Lei, umi yode kulihai. Is it really true, Rabbi Chia asked back a question to Rabbi Yonasan, is it really true that they know what's going on, like above ground? These people are going to be sitting here talking and about me coming to the basic faros. V'aksiv, v'yameisim enam yodim uma, the meisim, they don't know anything. That's the pasuk in Keheles. So Keheles, so Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yonasan responds back to Rabbi Chia, im karisa lo shanisa. If you ever learned this pasuk in the first place, you definitely didn't chazer it. Im shanisa lo shilashta. Im shilashta lo pirishtulcha. Right? If you chazer it three times, you sort of missed the point of the pasuk in the first place. This is in a long list of, I guess, what you would call rabbinic insults.
I love them.
And it's like, the good thing about rabbinic insults is that it's like much sharper in a way that, you know, if you learned it, you didn't chazer. If you chazer it, you didn't chazer it again. And you did, you have no clue what you're talking about.
What's that? Usually they're like really outdated. Like,
right, yeah.
Like, let your tongue be removed.
Yeah. We had another one a little bit earlier about, how come the person didn't stop Kriya Shema to sort of, you know, for that person? He said, oh, that person wasn't machshav the other. It's like the short little line that just, okay. So what does that pasuk mean? And this is the pasuk of Helas. The pasuk begins, Ki achayim yodim sheyamusu. Those who are living know that they're going to die. What's that pasuk talking about? Elo tzadikim shevamisasan nikruchayim. Ki achayim yodim sheyamusu. Okay. So even when they're dead, they're called chayim. Question is, like, how do you then read that pasuk? Like, how do you read this pasuk saying that ki achayim yodim sheyamusu is talking about the tzaddikim, that even in their death they're called chayim? It's not clear to read the pasuk. People sort of struggle with that pasuk. So let's take a quick look at Rashi. Oh, it's already 7 o'clock. So el tzaddikim umay yodim sheyamusu. So nosnim alibam yom hamisa umoshchem yideyem min havera urishayim enim yodim meuma shosim atzmim keinam yodim v'chotim. They're just sort of out to lunch. They don't know what they're doing. Okay, but either way, so this pasuk is not talking about knowing or it's not knowing when you're dead. It's talking about people in their lifetime who are either called chayim even when they die, or even when there are rishayim, even their life, those people are called meisim. Shneamar b'nai ben Yehoyada ben Ishchai Rav Paula mikabtzel who hika as shnei Ariel Moav who yard v'hika as ha'ari b'toch habor b'yom hashala, etc., etc. But either way, so it says ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai means like the child of someone who is still living. And the Gemara is going to go on to say, but what do you mean ben Ishchai? So it means ben Ishchai, even though his father was dead, he's considered to be chayim. And there are people who, even when they're alive, are called dead. But that doesn't mean that the meisim don't know actually what's going on above ground. And then the next amud, Yuchas Mubeis, is a long, long, long discussion of what meisim do know, what they don't know, what they hear, what they don't hear. It's a very somewhat funky and famous amud. Okay, I'm away for Shabbos, but I will, whatever.
Alrighty.
Okay. Thank you. You too. Good seeing you.